Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. It is the Final Word Show. I am your host, Paul Machin. I am joined by Ben Kelly, by Welsh champion Kieran Gethin, and by Sam Walker as well for this one. Liverpool kicked off the Premier League season, Ben. 4-1 sound, absolutely sound. And, you know, very similar, I thought, in some respects to the West Ham game last season. At times, it felt like Liverpool just kind of picked up where they left off last season, free flow and attacking when they needed to score goals. They scored goals, etc., etc. We'll come on to some of the finer points of it as we go through. But ultimately, now with a few days of breathing space on it, you can kind of look back. You can look at the overriding score, look at the 3 points on the board, and go, yeah.
Sound. Just business as usual, wasn't it? It's exactly that. We're picking up where we left off. It just, I think somebody tweeted at the weekend, I don't know who it was, it just felt like both us and Man City had just played a 39th game from last season. Yeah. Like, obviously, we've commented over the summer, haven't we, in the build-up to this game, just like how little time we felt like we've had off. It does feel like the Brighton game and the Wolves game were about 2 weeks ago. We've maybe had an international break or something. We've just picked off with game 39 and everything's just back to normal, which is good and bad because, you know, obviously we've come back and we've brushed Norwich aside with no real issues. So it's nice to know that we've still got that fluidity there. You know, we did look really sharp. I was actually really impressed by us in the first half. Like, overly impressed. I didn't expect us to be that good. I won't lie, in the first half, and I was really impressed by our time. Obviously, we'll come on to the details. We trailed off a little bit in the second half, but I think as far as opening weekend and opening night performances goes, I think that's as good as we can expect.
Kieran, when you consider like the negativity that surrounded Liverpool's pre-season, and I think Ben's right in that it was actually surprise is not the word because I've come to accept this. Liverpool team are just brilliant. But, you know, toward the back end of the season, you know, there were tired legs. It was starting to run out. And then, you know, obviously you win the European Cup and that's something else. You know, it's just the biggest party, biggest party of our lives for the days after that. But when pre-season isn't necessarily going in your favour, the linger, the doubt start to creep in. So just to see Liverpool take to the field, and look, there were problems, which we will discuss. But to go, when the stuff that was really good was the stuff that we've come to expect from Liverpool.
Yeah, like you say, the pre-season, you do get a bit of worries, you know, and watching the scores come out in America, and thinking, waking up in the morning, checking them, and I'm thinking, oh, God, what's this going to turn out like the first game? Knowing that it was Norwich gave me a bit of confidence, but, you know, you have to have confidence in when all the players come back in, they start gelling straight away, don't they? You know, not everyone does, but It was really nice to see a good, strong performance. Like you say, in the first half, you say it trailed off in the second. I was pretty happy with it all the way through the game. You know, maybe it was just a case of, like it would have been last season, if we smashed someone in the first half. It wasn't like it didn't happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the one goal we conceded, the boy's a good striker. You know, how many goals did he score last year in the Championship? I know it's a different level, but still, he's carried his good form. And I was really happy with the old game, to be honest with you. Just that, you know, the negativity from like Martin Tyler on the commentary just wound me up from start to finish.
Just a man. Sam, one interesting thing actually, before we dive into the game itself, that we didn't parade the trophy. Like, I think there's a lot of, because we didn't do it at Tranmere, and I thought we would. I thought first pre-season game, it might be a thing. Now, and do you understand the value in that? I think I feel this comes from Klopp.
Yeah, that was exactly going to be my answer. I think Klopp had something to do with this. I think the players have been saying it one after another in pre-season and in the build-up to this game, haven't they, about that's gone now, we really need to restart. And I think that comes from you know, what Klopp said about, right, that's gone. I think it was your guys' interview, all the stuff he's done with Sky and BT over the summer. It's been, right, we've done that, we've banked that, and now we've got to move on. I think, I mean, I missed the game myself. I saw it live, but I didn't go to the game this weekend, so I didn't know that was the case until now. But I'm quite glad, actually, because I think it should be a case of, if you're parading and lingering on to all the success, you can't move on, can you? And yeah. I think we've got Wednesday now, so brilliant. You know, let's go again.
It was probably enough, wasn't it? You know what I mean? I think that was a nice touch. I mean, I wasn't there either, but that came across quite nicely on the telly. Like, obviously, it sounded quite loud at first with the Never Walk Alone.
Oh, God, yeah.
So for me, I think that was a nice little touch. It was, you know, obviously the champions of Europe, that was going around quite a lot, which always sounds great. A bit of a novelty still.
Oh, I've sent him a few videos post-match. I've waited 14 years to be back in Anfield.
Singing
to
that
sing
song.
That. It's my absolute favourite chance in the whole world.
For me, I mean, look, it would have been nice, I suppose, to see the trophy, but it's in the museum. The mosaic looked good. I don't think that was a major issue.
I mean, to be fair, I was in the museum, so I did see the trophy. But you know, it's one of those things where I suppose they've given everyone, you know, they had it on display, didn't they, for a while? It is in the museum. They took it on tour with them.
Yeah, it was medical, wasn't it?
It was just that little thing for me. I get it because I'll play devil's advocate here because on one hand I look at it and go. Because you're right, Klopp's message, it was toward the back end of the US tour, it was one of his post-match press conferences, he was like, I hope never, no one asks me about the Champions League ever again, because, again, we've got to write a new chapter. That was brilliant, but it's gone, you can't live in it too long.
You just get complacent if you don't put it in behind. It's the same with every sport, you know, I win a fight and straight away I want to get back in the gym and I want to start thinking about the next one.
But there must be a thing, because again, you're probably perfect to have you here, to be fair, Caden, is that, you know, you work towards something, belts, you know, and boxing, whatever, belts and titles, you work towards them, but that I always find that fascinating, is because you can't rest on your laurels, because there must be, for loads of people, you see it all over, people, you know, people who don't stay champions for long are the kind of people who it's like they've made it. When you get that bit of silverware, you've made it.
The night I won my belt, you know, you've seen it your last time. The night I won my belt, I was hugging it. I didn't let it go, slept with the fucking thing. But then, the next week then, I don't want to look at it. You know, it's in the trophy cabinet. I've had it closed in the case sometimes in the trophy cabinet. I can't look at it. I defended it recently. And I can look at it again for a week or two now, and now I don't want to look at it again. I want to move on to the next thing. And I'd imagine it's the same thing with them. You've got a video where Brewster running around with it in his bedroom or whatever. I guarantee you won't be thinking about that until he wins it himself, you know, or scores a winning goal himself. You know?
No, I think it's really interesting. Psychologically, Sam, for me, is that I've been reminded a few times when people spoke to me about this, it's like it's very Ronnie Moran. You know, like, you know, chuck your medals in the bag here, lads. Yeah. Thanks very much. You've had good fun with them, right? We'll wrap them up. You can have them back in the future. You know, have them back next season when you've won another set, because you do want to maintain that focus. As I say, the only side, and it's only from a fan perspective, is I know the trophy was there and it was in Anfield for weeks, so people had the opportunity to go down and see it. But I don't know. I just think there's something there to maybe the first Champions League game or something, because at least you can say it's relevant to that. But I don't know. Just I wonder whether there's something to. There's obviously match going Reds who don't.
If you add it on the Champions League game, it could be a bit of an intimidation thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you play a big team in the Champions League, you go and look at this. You want one of these, didn't you? Well,
but that's fitting, isn't it? It's perfect, like you said. It's about being a dominant force in Europe. Yeah. We haven't been beaten in two legs since Klopp's been there, and so on and so forth. But in the Premier League, you know, we've had this all summer, haven't
we? We just won the Premier League.
Yeah, the Premier League. Now you're trying to parade your trophy in the Premier League games. Oh, I'll give up with you. So I think from a PR point of view, I think the club have probably come together and made a decision. And also, Klopp probably, man management, hunger. Let's get the next one, then we'll do that, and then the next one, and so on.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because me and my dad were discussing this last night, actually, about how you do maintain that hunger with some of the players, because, look, particularly footballers, I might do them a disrespect at times. I don't want to, you know, tar them all with one brush. But let's look at, like, Trent Alexander-Arnold, for an example. A meteoric rise through the side. You know, he's now been to two Champions League finals. He's won the one. But he's 20 years old. He's won the European Cup. He's a local lad, so he's now the idol of the entire city. Yeah. He's got a fucking... He's got a painting of himself on the side of a fucking building. But he's 20 years old, you know what I mean? And that's got... And look, he might be water off a duck's back to him. He seems like a very focused kid. But that they're the things that you've got. That's what we've now got to guard against. All of a sudden, it's not just building a team. You've got to make sure they don't go. Look, like every sports movie in the world, this what happens in the sequel to every sports movie. It's how they become all fat and bloated, and then how do they find the hunger again? Yeah. So, I psychologically, I think it's I think it's spot on.
I think as well. This is, I know we're going backwards a little bit, but I think that the games we had pre-season, the difficulty type of teams we played, were all done by on purpose as well, to make sure that we got a proper game, a proper hungry, good sides, and not against Barcelona, who are just as blasé as us. It's about, you might get your ass whooped once or twice, but it's beat the hungry teams you want to beat you. And I think it's done as well to get us to where we are now. So it's just all part of the process. I think it's brilliant, to be honest.
I think that's a spot on point, actually, about the team selection. Let's talk about the actual team selection on the night then. Ben and Divock Origi starting on the left again. And I thought we saw from Divock Origi in that performance, look, people will still have fears about the players that Liverpool have bought in or not. Most of those fears, I think, rely on injuries and how Liverpool will cope, etc., etc. But what we saw from Divock playing from the left, gets an assist, gets a goal, very nearly gets another assist for Jordan Henderson in the second half as well. And look, if he's coming out, if he's going into games against the other, whether it's the bottom 10 or the other 14 teams in the league, look, we saw it last season. He's got the ability to have a tangible impact on those games. He was quiet against Man City, but provided he's able to come into these type of matches and have that kind of impact, then we've got no problem.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because the thing is now, I mean, because Divock Origi's been around for so long, you don't realise that he's still maturing as a football player. He'll have come out of the back of last season, obviously flying high in confidence, because why wouldn't you be? And he'll have done a whole pre-season now to develop. He'll have done a lot of classroom work.
And knowing that he's doing it with the benefit of, I'm starting,
He did look good in pre-season as well.
He looked sharp in pre-season. And I've said it before on these shows, he is clinical. You know, the goal's an easy take. The goal's a really good opportunity. It's poor defending from Norwich, but he takes it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's what is important.
But it's his movement for that. It's a great ball from Trent Ford, but he gets himself into the position to finish the header. And you know, again, he was a constant threat. You know, his pace, he's direct. He's actually got good skills, good close control.
I feel so undecided about him playing on the left, though. Like you say, his movement creates space for him, right? And it is brilliant. But you know, when he gets the ball at his feet and he's trying to cut in past someone, I just feel he looks so clumsy. he's like a big foot clown trying to dribble past someone.
The thing is about Origi is that he's always been a results player. You know, I can't think of many games where you go, Divock Origi absolutely dominated that game of football. You know, you don't see complete centre forward masterclass performances from Divock Origi. More often than not, you see him play a little bit underwhelming, but score the winning goal.
You've
got to go back to that season when we had the Europa League run, when he was playing at that level, isn't it? Apart from that, you're right. I must admit, though, I've been along the same lines as you, Kieran, and left side, I've not been sure, but I'm in agreement with you now, actually, that he proved against a decent Norwich side, and let's not pretend their fullbacks are going to be right up there this year. In fact, I would go as far as to say I don't think neither of their fullbacks will be there next season, and they'll both get taken on. They're both good, talented players. But I was really surprised at how much impact he had in the game. He was a threat throughout, and he actually had a really good game. And if Firmino doesn't mess that up and Origi smashes that in, he's man of the match for me.
I think it's a great point, and that's the really encouraging thing from that. You know, because we've all gone into this season going, like, when's Brewster? Let's get Brewster in the side. When's he going to get his game? And the encouraging thing is, we don't have to rush Brewster in any way, shape or form. He's got this season to get back.
Would have been nice to see him on after 4-0, wouldn't it?
No, 100%. Like, don't get me wrong. I agree, but also, it's about managing talent and managing your squad and what have you. I think Origi's just gone in there and gone, here you go, that's my purpose. I've gone, okay, fine. So if you want to rest Mane, or if you want to rest Salah and you can put Mane on the right-hand side, you know, if you want to rest... Just having a lad who can just put the ball in the back of the net and create stuff. But it was the creating stuff, like, you know, that he could have had at least two assists in that game. And from the left-hand side, I mean, Mane doesn't get loads of assists, you know.
He scores a lot of goals, but doesn't get loads of assists.
So very much a positive sign. Gomez started again, Ben. A real mixed bag of reviews reading through the comments and reaction to this. I thought he was fine, but I think we saw it a couple of times. When Norwich are getting through us, I don't know whether we are... When Liverpool, when teams do well against Liverpool, I think we automatically go, it's our fault.
Yeah.
You know, like someone's having a bad performance as opposed to going, that was good attack and play from the other side.
It's a bit of both, because obviously as unconscious bias almost, you do automatically look at Liverpool, but obviously you won't have seen it at the game, but there was so much conversation taking place about how Norwich approached the game, about how should they have, because obviously this is the way that they've played throughout the whole of last season, should they be adapting to Premier League, because obviously they've shipped a few goals here, but in the first half there were periods where they looked quite good and they did create a couple of chances, so there was quite a lot of debate going on over whether that was the right approach from Norwich. And as a result, I think that kind of answers your question, because that says to you, well, they are producing some good stuff, and you've got to kind of take it at face value that they are quite a good attacking team. We've mentioned the goal already. That goal, if you look back at Pukki's form over the last season, that is the type of goal that he scores. That is the type of move that they play. He makes an inside run, and he tucks it away, and they do it all the time. So you can't. You've got to look at both. You've got to go, well, Liverpool can defend better against certain things like that, but at the same time, they're clearly a good footballing side. They've come into the Premier League. They're full of confidence, having just won the. They won the Championship, right?
Yeah. And won the Championship outscoring everyone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But they only had the eighth best defence. So
yeah,
it's as is, isn't it?
Yeah. But from a Liverpool defensive perspective, it's almost like, well, you've got to take the rough with the smooth. You've got to be like,
they are good players.
Yeah, they are good. They are clearly good attacking
and
players.
Personally, I thought Gomez looked quite comfortable and confident. Don't get me wrong, I think Gomez always looked confident. He looks like the type of person with a solid mentality. But, you know, I thought he let the game play out in front of him, and he got involved when he needed to. I thought he looked really good myself.
Sweet. Good to see him get games. It was a surprise. I honestly thought Matip would start the game, to be perfectly honest. But, I mean, I guess Sam will know, we'll know by the end of today or tomorrow, whatever, a clearer idea. But it wouldn't shock you to see Matip start the Super Cup, which we will come on to. Mo Salah, though, mate.
Yeah, brilliant.
It's funny because, again, like the Origi stuff to some extent, there's no shame in not being in the scoring a hat trick against Manchester City in a competitive game. But Salah looked in that game like he could have had an absolute bag full.
But that was the positive that come from. We said it last week, didn't we? He came out of that game having torn Otamendi and Zinchenko a new one.
Yeah.
So like it was like, and I think we were saying he's going to get an hat trick against United, and I actually thought he did when I put him as my FF captain. I was like that half time, but I think he took the foot. But you'd be right; he absolutely had them in tatters, didn't he? And then playing the way they do, played into his hands. I thought he was brilliant. His finish was great as well. He doesn't have scored some good goals. He doesn't score lots of tap-ins in a season, does he?
It's becoming. I mean. He scored early last season as well, to be fair, but you know that there's not going to have a season of him being this one season wonder.
Feels consistent.
You get in those positions now, Kane, and you don't really think about it anymore.
He's so intelligent. He like uses defenders as a shield when he's putting them through three players to get the goal in. You know, like you say, it's a brilliant finish. Right? He's so intelligent cutting in from our side and. He was fantastic to watch. And like you say, you just hope that he carries on banging in the goals like he has been the past few years.
It was brilliant seeing just him and Firmino. We saw it, the little glimpses in pre-season, didn't we? Right at the back end, Ben. Over in Switzerland for the Lyon game. And you go, it's when you go,
thank God.
Yeah. Everything's going to be fine. Our forwards are amazing. But like that, the touch to lay him in for Firmino.
I mean, this is what I mean. Like, I was so impressed by how sharp we were, obviously, going into a Premier League game. I mean, look, last season, there was loads of conversations being taking place about, like, a little bit of a change in approach that we had. You know, we weren't quite as gung-ho, but it felt like the periods that first half felt a lot more like 17-18, you know, in some of the really good little moves that we were playing. Mm. And if we can get a really perfect balance of, I'm not saying that we weren't exciting to watch last season because we were, but if we can get a perfect balance of those two seasons combined, we're going to be one hell of a force this season, I tell you what.
It's that's the mission for this season, isn't it? And we spelt it out, you know, keeping the team together. Was the biggest buy of the summer to some extent, because you're not spending a summer getting anyone up to speed with how you do things.
Yeah.
I mean, look at last season. Keep coming back to this. Now I know we've not seen Keita in the midfield so far this season. But we will. But he's gone to the lads there, and it's not just. Chris said it about like lads you can trust, And I think that might be you could maybe misconstrue that as, you know, we've not gone a bit, you know, brave or whatever. But Fabinho's in the midfield now. He's nailed on. You know, he's established this time last year. He wasn't ready to play in the team. We were chopping and changing. You know, Keita went in just because we needed him to play.
We're short at the beginning of the season as well. We had a few missing.
Yeah, Henderson come back from the World Cup. Right, yeah. He wasn't ready to start the season. And even then, he was playing in the six. He wasn't even the patch on the player that Jordan Henderson is right now, who we will pick up on. But that's the thing, we're established now, so there's a good chance that we'll be just as solid as last season, except we'll be more progressive.
Well, first game of the season, if you want to compare it to last season, Norwich, because last year we played West Ham. West Ham do the same thing every summer. Spend a load of money, bring in a load of players that are exciting. We don't know much about what they're going to do, and it never really works out for them. Yeah. And it proved to be the same this year. But so they were terrible, I thought, at Anfield last year. I actually thought we played better this year than last year. But Norwich did what we did. They didn't buy anyone. I think they bought nobody.
They
spent less money than us, haven't they?
They've bought loads of players in, but like. They've not done a Fulham or a Villa.
So their team is very much as it was. So that they played us in the same mentality as we played them, as continuation of last year. And that's always going to be difficult because they're organised. It's not like we were playing against a new team. If we had played Villa at home, who are a brand spanking new side almost, it may have been chaos and carnage. But it was something interesting Mourinho was talking about on Sky yesterday, because I say I watched it at home. And he was talking about tried and tested and about trust, especially early on in the season. And he was saying about how early on in the season he likes to use players who he knows what he's going to get from, rather than gambling. Mm-hmm. Because it's so early in the season, because it's so unpredictable.
That's confidence for the rest
and
of the
season. Yeah, and he was talking and comparing it to the way Pep and Klopp do it. And actually when you triangulate it, they are similar in that respect. Like, we've started a lot of games with Milner, Henson and Wijnaldum. Why? Because he knows what he's going to get. It might not be the same level as Keita. Yeah. We could have started Keita, but he knew what he was going to get from Ginny, Hendo and Fabinho. And I thought it was good.
Yeah, absolutely, and with so much more to come as well in that regard. The Alisson stuff, Kieran, I just because he's having a decent game up to that point. You know, he makes a great double save and Pukki goes through. I have to say this. I'm going to make myself look like an absolute tip, but. I can't say Pukki with a straight face because it's a character from Garfield, and he makes a great couple of saves, and then it's a weird situation. I don't know how much of it was on the telly coverage, because there's a quick goal kick on, and he says, right, look, just wait a second, let's just get it set, and then it remains on, so he still takes it a bit awkwardly, a bit quickly, and then he immediately goes, probably immediately like flinches, stands up, and then collapses. It was like,
He slips as he kicks it, yeah, and it just, I'm hoping it's just like an overextension of his right leg, but as soon as you went down, I just thought, I had a smile on my face because we were playing so well, and then as soon as you went down, the smile stayed on my face, but really sarcastically, do you know what I mean? Yeah, like a panic way.
Yeah.
And then I thought, Mignolet must be kicking his cat out of his living room. You know what I mean? My mate texted me and said exactly the same thing, and for him to be there for that long and not get
he sat in his new in his temporary apartment in Belgium, and he's probably got all his friends and family around
watching
the game, and like Alisson goes down injured, and everyone's going, oh, and then everyone just goes, and it just goes really silent in the room.
Yeah. And Sam goes out, and
he's just like, he's just staring at the screen, just, and everyone, just no one wants to say anything to him. And someone just goes, Simon, he goes, don't say anything.
And then you see Adrian come on the screen, he's like, ah. Because the grin on his face pops like that.
He walks onto the pitch and straight into the Super Cup team. Look, a great reception. He got a fantastic reception. And moreover, when he completed his first pass, and everyone went, unreal. Because this is the thing. No, I mean, look, we've played against Adrian. We've seen him, you know, he was at West Ham for years, wasn't he? But I couldn't tell you anything about him, you know what I mean?
He played second fiddle for a while last year.
I couldn't tell you if he's obviously not amazing, because you don't end up as West Ham's second choice goalkeeper, you know. No, but you know, he's obviously fine, isn't he? But yeah, it was I'm glad that it was a solid enough debut. It was probably I think I might have said this post match. If you're gonna lose your goalkeeper, who you haven't got anything like the class of replacement for, lose them when you're 3-0 up in a game.
Yeah.
When you've got, you know, a little bit of time to kind of, you know, he wasn't gonna cost us that much. He's now got a little bit of time to
in that situation as well. It takes pressure off and it might add a bit of confidence to Adrian as well, you know what I mean? And hopefully after seeing his team win 4-1 just after joining and coming in, like you say, going into the Super Cup, he has a bit more confidence when he goes into that as well. And I just really hope he looks solid and coming into a club of this size and them having the confidence to buy him gives him confidence and improves him as a player as well. Because I think it could do.
Yeah. The good thing what we did from there, Sam, was we went and got the fourth goal. Yeah. And, you know, because, again, I don't know how much this comes across on the telly, but it's going to flatten it. You know, the same as if Van Dijk had picked up an injury, you can't help but go. Because it's not necessarily about that game you're watching.
You're thinking forward.
Exactly. You know, you're going into that game thinking, we've got to be perfect here. You know, it's going to be a season where we're going to need all of our faculties available to us, and then you lose your goalkeeper. But yeah, going down the other end almost and getting the fourth, I think, meant that you're not thinking about that. You're just getting back to enjoying the footy again.
And for him as well, like you were saying, the confidence of him coming on and then us getting... Because first thing I'm thinking is, I'm sure we'll be okay, but I'm thinking, if Pookie or whatever his name
whacks one,
it goes under him fairly doors, you're thinking, this isn't going to start well. But getting that goal, I think, was absolutely, absolutely perfect for him. But I was worried, mate. I was worried. Yeah. I was thinking I've been saying we're gonna win the league. Sané's out. They've lost company. Come on, Reds.
Yeah.
And then our goalie goes down. And you're like, but sounds like it's not too bad in the end. Though,
fingers crossed. I believe he's probably having. I think we'll know more later on today. Yeah. Of course.
There'll be someone on Twitter outside the spire with a zoomed in, you know, looking at the sheet that he comes out with.
Yeah, absolutely. Checking for a limp. He left in a wheelchair, didn't he? And I think a lot of that's like
precaution.
Well, you've got to. I mean, he walked off the pitch, and
when you've got that much money riding on something, you're gonna take every kind.
The thing is that's the thing. The training, the fitness staff were like, get on the stretcher, and he was like, no, it's okay, I can walk it off. And there's times when you're just thinking, mate, and I know you're trying to like, and that's good. You know, you don't want him crying off or whatever. But at the same time, you do. You know, you remember Sacco doing that. Remember he got really badly injured and he basically like heroically hobbled back on the pitch, won one more header and then collapsed to the floor out for 2 months. So fingers crossed, fingers and toes crossed that he is fine for that. Kieran, do you think we eased off a bit in the second half?
I was talking about it before. I don't think we really eased off. I think it was we eased off in the sense that. You know, we weren't going for the throat, you know, again. But it was, for me, it was exactly the same as last season. It was no, like, it wasn't a case of we eased off, it's something to worry about. It was a case of we eased off like we did last year. We'd score a bunch of goals and then, you know, you're obviously not going to keep going 100 miles an hour, risk injuries, you know, just putting too much effort in and trying to force things when you're already 3-4-0 up, you know what I mean?
I think We're going to do a bit of a weekend roundup at the back end of the show, Sam, but inevitably people are going to look at the Man City score. Now, with hindsight, I wasn't, you know, only having 3 clear goals instead of 4, you know, that was in the back of my mind at the end of the game. But something my dad said to me about, like, you know, City just relentless, they just go, they play till the 94th minute, you know, and they try to beat you constantly.
It's the way they play, isn't it?
Exactly. But it's also worth remembering that we have got a game in midweek.
Yeah.
You know, and I do wonder whether that's where our balance is again. Is that, look, if Man City are going to go and put down 100 plus goals again this season, then they're probably going to, you know, then that might well be how they win the league again. Liverpool probably will keep something in reserve to make sure that they have got the ability to go. We can't go. Maybe because of the squad. I don't know. You know, it's probably a bit early to say this, but yeah, I think you kind of get what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, think about this from a perspective of the type of club they are as well. We don't need to win games 3-0 to prove a point. We're Liverpool Football Club, we're Champions Europe, 6 times Champions Europe. You know, we've got this massive history. You've got a great manager. These players, we're not spending bundles of cash. They are. They're under massive pressure to deliver every minute of every game. Like, to join justify Pep, yeah. To justify Pep, to justify the money, to prove this point that they're always trying to prove. And also, they play this style of football where the ball does the work and it absolutely strangles teams. And I just think when you add all that together, it's just naturally they're going to win more games 5-0 than we are. But do you really think we're going to lose the league on goal difference this year?
No.
If we're going to lose the league, for me, it ain't going to be on goal difference. That's
it,
my
doesn't
opinion
matter
anyway.
How many goals we score at this stage of the season. It just matters we're getting points on the board.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, I think it's spot on. You're right, I'm not sure we... I asked the question, I wasn't looking to lead an answer or anything. I think we did enough in the second half. I got the sense, I was watching it and going, you know, there's Jordan Henderson gets in, there's a fantastic save from Tim Krul there, tips it onto the bar.
I wanted nothing then, more than for Jordan Henderson to score, by the way. I was proper, just even 4-0, he puts that in, I'm like, there's just something about
his sprint. Every sprint you think, there's someone on the end of that free.
That's it, you know, and then it comes back in again, and... Firmino, no idea.
He definitely did that on purpose, by the way. How did he miss that?
Does that, if you go back and play some of the old FIFAs and the animation doesn't catch up with the player loses sight of the ball in the animation, and it's just like, it was a bizarre. He tried to do like a Ryu spin kick thing.
I did want to mention Firmino's shot with the chest, and when he smashed it, if that had gone in, I was putting my baby to sleep at the time. She'd have been up. You know what I mean? Would have been absolute chaos if he just scored that. I just wanted to mention that it was a hell of a shot.
Absolutely. Nice, but they're the things, aren't they? Is that particularly with four goals in the bag at that point, it would have been nice just to go and get that extra, particularly in front of the cop. But yeah, I think we did. We probably did just enough. But you can't help but have the edge being taken off. Then, you know, Ben, when to get that, because they do get the goal back, and we then don't go and score another one. Because of the recency, but as you walk out of the ground and you finish the game a bit like, like somehow you've not won 4-1.
Yeah, like, you know, I know what you mean. For me, it was a bit like, okay, like it wasn't so much art. It was more obviously City did go and do it on the Saturday, which makes it a little bit more difficult to make this point. But like, it's still only the first game of the season, so I wasn't completely expecting us to, as you say, go hell for leather for 90 minutes and score 6 or 7. I mean, there was talk of them conceding. Yeah, it's the first game of the season, so I walked out. I mean, I turned the telly off and I was like, right, that's fine. Because again, I mean, going back to what we discussed at the top of the show, it just felt like a continuation of last season. So it felt like very much like a tick box exercise, in the sense of, I finished watching, I was like, okay, I can get on with my weekend now, we've won. It felt like nothing different. So I don't know whether that's part of it in that sense, because for the first time in quite a few years, we're expecting Liverpool to just continue on a very good path. There's no real expectation for us to jump from one level to a real high next one, because we're already at that level. So whereas in previous seasons, you know, I remember, obviously, we drew with Watford 2 years back, but I was really excited going into that season because it felt as if we really could go up a level. Yeah. This season, it feels like, okay, well, we've got to maintain where we're at.
Level,
and therefore, it's not that it's... I don't want to say it's less exciting, but it kind of is, because I'm going on with the mentality of, well, we just need to do more of the same. Yeah, there's it's not a negative thing.
It's just the weight of expectation. Yeah, on your end.
So as a result, just to round off, at the end of that game, it wasn't so much. It was just like, well, that's what I expected. Yeah. So the end. That was it.
And we can improve from that as well. I think that's the positive to take from it. Is 4-1's not us at our
I was
best.
Expecting
but you could argue City 5-0 is pretty much what they're. That's the top of that. Away 5-0. That's as good as it gets.
Yeah, really? You're right. To be fair, I remember saying this exactly about them last season, because the difference between 5-0 and 6-0 is minimal, but there's a diff. But you know, you're right. There's definitely. I mean, look, they might have loads more to go. They might improve all over the pitch. You know, they might do. But you're right that you're not going to win many games more than 5-0. So even if they were to become perfect, exactly. Even if they were to become perfect. You can only earn 3 points, and you're not going to score many more than 5 goals in a game. Often, certainly. Yeah. Whereas I think you can see quite encouragingly what there is with Liverpool, and which was. While we were talking, I turned these off on the second half. Is this SofaScore? I think I've got up. SofaScore, the app. They've got a thing called attacking momentum, like a graph. Yeah. And just I hadn't looked at it, you know, because you've got the eyeball it's test brilliant. Where you feel like Liverpool have eased off and. Liverpool just did not. In fact, they were more attacking in the second half than they were.
They were saying in the analysis after the game that their fullbacks actually defended a bit more first half, the second half than they did first half, whereas we were just in all the time. It showed them making loads of recovery tackles. So that probably just because they probably just didn't feel.
They had a couple of good, just had good chances, didn't they? You know, yeah, didn't they hit the bar, didn't they, in the second half as well? Like, you know, they caused us problems, and they had a couple of little spells themselves. Like, but yeah, I think I think so much of it is just like. You have a negative spin on something. Like if that goal had been the second goal of the game or the third goal of the game, you know, if it'd been 2-1 and then we'd gone on and won 4-1, you'd just been laughing. You know, you'd have been feet up party time for the second half. Whereas because they scored in the second and then we're knocking on the door and can't get through.
Yeah.
It kind of is what it is. But we touched on Jordan Henderson there, Sam. I wanna talk about him because I thought he was incredible. I got some absolute minge bag tweet me to say I don't know what game you were watching. I thought he was average.
I had the same. Yeah, I got the same shit off people. I got the same thing. What was you watching? I'm like, what? I just don't understand.
It was. He was. That was his club. People bang on about how he's not Steven Gerrard, and he's not Steven Gerrard. But I watched every game of Steven Gerrard's career for Liverpool. Like I watched every single one of them from him being 18 years old to being, you know, to moving on to the Galaxy, and that was like a peak Gerrard performance, minus the goals. Terms of the energy, the determination, driving from midfield, and Jordan Henderson did all that stuff. But he also, there were times when he was doing like this selfless job for the team, where he's wide right, he's creating loads of width for it, stretching the opposition, supporting Mo Salah, supporting Trent Alexander-Arnold, and then he's still arriving late in the middle of the box and having shots. To pick up from what Ben was saying about Liverpool in general, nothing typified us picking up where we left off. Mm. Quite like Jordan Henderson being the lad who unveiled himself at Southampton last year, and he's just carried on those performances.
He just seems so much more natural to him, doesn't he, playing that? And I think that right channel as well is just perfect. Yeah. Salah and Trent must love seeing his name on the team sheet, because especially when you actually get a chance to see it live, the runs he makes, that might not always get picked up on camera. So much so, he takes left backs out of the game all the time. Trent must love that, because it means he's not getting closed down, and Salah obviously is loving that.
That could be the reason why people haven't picked up by putting three players on Salah.
Yeah.
If they do, Endo's going to be the player like
him. There's times there, and it happens in the, I think it happens in the build-up to the, it might be to the build-up to Salah's goal, one of the goals anyway, and Henderson drives forward, and he overtakes Salah basically and runs into the channel and you know and says like I'm here for you, and Salah goes great. It's either that, it might be the fourth goal, but the exactly that point is that what are you meant to do? Because your job, Salah's playing right wing, so your job is nominally to stop Mo Salah getting in, and then there's Jordan Henderson tearing past you. You're like, do I go with the runner? Do I hold my line? Do I push on to Sam? Are we playing offside? What are we doing? And then what then happens in addition to that is Trent Alexander-Arnold is all of a sudden in the perfect crossing position without a man with you 15 yards of space all around him. And it happened a couple of times where he just had the time to put a little roll on the ball. pick a spot and bend the ball. And so
I've got a long-standing thing with a friend of mine who's a Gooner, and he keeps telling me how Ozil's a better player than Henderson, and Henderson's giving me ammo now to say no. He's definitely fucking not.
Like the Mesut Ozil stuff, like, just like phenomenal footballer apparently. Like
that's exactly how you feel,
like, 2008,
2009. Exactly. Yeah. I really liked Ozil. You know, his early at Real and played for. They look completely different types of players, but yeah. You know, who would you rather have?
Right now, Jordan.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Sure.
There's not many defenders.
How many Mesut Ozil would play?
Even Arsenal don't want Mesut Ozil. No.
Mesut Ozil wouldn't get in the match they squad. No. He just would, you know what I mean? He'd be fired, have him.
Yeah.
Have him,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Back up, isn't he?
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm sure he'd be good. Yeah. Some of those skills and touches would be a great addition to the young lads in the 20s.
He got beat the other day, didn't he? The ammunition
he would provide for Brewster in that under 23 side. Just stand there, you stand there, get 10 kids to run around you, like, you'd be great. But no, I love it from Henderson, and because I think he's another one. Where you know you've got your fears, doubts, and anxieties around what Liverpool side is going to turn up for the season, and everyone's made up for him. You know, he put that shift in. He got to own his own destiny. I think at the end of the campaign, and when I spoke to him in pre-season, he was a little standoffish because he was so friendly about certain things, but he was a bit standoffish when I mentioned like what his role was going to be and whatever, and I was like, oh shit, the last time he did that was when I was like, I want 10 goals from you, Jordan, and then he played 2 years in the six, and he was a bit like, you know, well, I'm not sure about that. I wondered whether he was maybe like, we might see him back to that, like, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain's back now. We saw a bit more of Shaqiri in the midfield.
There's no reason he can't play both, though, is there?
No.
You know what I mean? He's shown he's got the ability to do both, and all right, he's not the same impact player that he is in a six, but at least we've got cover there with him if Klopp needs it.
Yeah, no, completely. And I'm just made up for him. You know, when you put those performances in, because I'm bored. I'm bored now of having. I've spent years defending Jordan Henderson, and I've gone across the spectrum. I've always backed him. But I go from the spectrum of it's very hard to defend a lad who plays in the holding midfield whose job, his dictated job by the fucking manager is to keep it simple, is to play sideways passes, to maintain possession, to not take too many risks, to not go to ground, to do all these things. All the things that make you get you wet about football. Yeah. Jordan Henderson was told to do none of them for this side.
This is the point I had with that friend of mine. He's always done everything he's had to do really well.
Yeah.
Mm. But, you know, Stephen 1943 LFC on Twitter said otherwise. And that's the problem, isn't it? It's just a massive open debate. It's like, Klopp wants him to do that, so just go with it.
I know, if anyone's got more than five numbers at the end of the Twitter account, I don't want to engage with them anymore. Yeah. Fair play for Jordan. But you can see, just need a couple more goals. I think if that one goes in, all of a sudden, there's just no doubts. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we want to see Oxlade-Chamberlain back in that side because he's such a good player. But ultimately, I'll do a massive shrug because as much as I like him, if Jordan Henderson's playing that side, he's having that tangible impact on 40 games, and he's able to add goals and assists to his game, then what's the point? So you have all the Ozils and all the creative midfielders in the world, but if you're scoring goals and you're making goals and you're creating space, then
we've got Firmino to do what Ozil should be doing for us, to do the creativity stuff. Yeah. What we need and what Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool sides thrive on are those powerhouse box to box midfielders. Mm-hmm. That's why he's stuck with Adam Lallana all this time for me, because when Adam Lallana's fit and firing, he does all of that pressing and just powerful natured stuff as well. So I think when you've got the energy of somebody like Henderson in there, and that's what Ox is going to provide, that's what Naby Keita was brought in to do and will do this season, that benefits us as a side so much more, because those players do their jobs, and then you get Firmino, who's essentially playing a 10 anyway as a false 9, to then link up the front three and do the clever stuff, and I think that's why our side works so well.
Are you a bit disappointed we didn't bring a creative midfielder in?
I was until... Because it's the one thing that keeps hanging over. It's the hangover from last summer, isn't it? Mm. And I think until we see where he's using Shaqiri this season, and until we see Naby Keita more consistently in the team, because I just don't think we need it. I think go back to this notion of like the Gegenpress is the creative midfielder effectively. Right. The bits that I've seen of Naby Keita, I just don't think we'll need. I don't think we'll need one because I think all of a sudden we're in a situation. If you've got Henderson in that side as well,
yeah,
we're playing five up front. If you're putting Keita in, that. There's times when you're gonna see Naby, and we saw it in the Community Shield. Naby Keita picks the ball up just inside his own half. He slaloms past two men, and you're in.
Yeah.
And then and he's looking to play a slide rule pass. And I don't think we've seen enough of him at the peak of his powers yet to ease those. Ease those kind of doubts.
For me, like I said before we came on, I don't see why players don't want to go to a championship winning team. I understand it if they like we said, want to play football because they want to play football, not because they want to win anything or whatever. But if you're an ambitious player and you want to play for a team that's winning trophies, I do not understand why we couldn't have brought in a creative midfielder just to have as a backup.
I think
play 20 games.
No,
a season.
Look, I understand. The problem is, Liverpool don't really play a system that requires a creative. Like if we
but
play
to
four,
have a different option.
No.
Can't
true,
break them
true
down
enough.
All the time,
but if we played 4-2-3-1, then I can see the case for. Because like Firmino can do that, but he's not as good in that role. And you look at like Spurs when you know with Eriksen and that playing in that playing.
He's really probably the only player. Sorry to interrupt you, but he's probably the only player in out there in football who's creative and does the graft. Yeah. You look at the numbers. The running, the you know all the Miles XG, all this stuff.
Changed the game Saturday. I don't know whether you watched Spurs.
No, I didn't.
I did.
Absolutely
but
fantastic.
He's the only one out there for me in world football who's in that midfielder who plays that role, who can basically get forward, back, forward, and deliver the quality.
And his contract.
There's nobody. There's nobody else, and that's what I was good. That was my going to be my reply to you. It's great saying that, but where did he fit in with Klopp? We didn't draw games last season because we were creative enough. We just played shite against West Ham and Leicester and Co, didn't we?
Well, I think there's the first half of the season, it was the consistent thing. I haven't just done the book and gone back through all the comments. That's the one, you know, we went in spells of narratives of like, what's to blame? Not having a creative midfield. And inevitably, that's because we spent a lot of games with Henderson, Wijnaldum and Milner in the midfield. And we keep coming back to it. Workmanlike is the expression that was used a lot there. But of course, all you've done, we didn't know this, but all we had to do was rotate them clockwise, and put you know what I mean, like and
change
put one. put Genie in the six, put Henderson slightly further forward, and all of a sudden we unleash what we kind of had available to us. I get the point. I think personally, if I was the one buying the players and all that, I'd have had one just to fucking have one.
Yeah,
but I also, when you look at the lads, you can't even get on the bench at the moment, or you're going to struggle for games. And again, Jadon Sancho, Naby Keita, and Adam Lallana, who can all play in those offensive midfield slots, and we couldn't get any of them on the pitch. You can get them on the pitch. So it's one of them. I think it will remain a talking point until Liverpool basically blitz the league,
win the league.
But I think the encouraging thing with this, Ben, as mentioned up top. So much room for improvements. There was a lad in the comments on our Facebook subscribers group, and I forget the name, but I replied to a comment of it. Him saying a slight concern because City have gone on and they've gone and done this, and we can see that we were a bit defensively suspect once or twice. You know, Norwich getting in, and if we were playing like this with three games to go in the season, that's a concern.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not really, ever really a concern winning 4-1 at home, is it? Like, but the first game of the season to show that we can do the attacking stuff well, but also say that there's still a bit of room for a bit more solidity, a bit more. You've got to take encouragement with not being at the peak of your powers in the early start.
Klopp said somewhere along the road this pre-season, it might have been in the interview that we did, about you just don't play your best football at week one. It's that simple. You play your best football getting into Christmas, coming out of Christmas and going into the back end of the season. That's when you really hit your peak. So I'm more than happy with the way the game's gone because, that's the third time I've said it now, I was just blown away by how sharp we were in the first half. It felt to me as if we trailed off a little bit in the second half, but that's to be expected in the first game of the season. The defence side of it will sort itself out. Hopefully we get Alisson back because I do think that he's quite a big influence behind the back four, not only with the saves he makes, but the communication and the partnership that he's got with Van Dijk, I think is a big, big thing in the team. But we've got Gomez comes in, he does okay, but we've got Matip. If Gomez drops off a little bit, we've got these options. Lovren's been linked with a move away today, but we've got another Premier League good standard centre-back below those three that can come in and do a job if we need him to. So in terms of the way...
Still not going to
No, he went last year, didn't he? Yeah. Um, So
mixing
so,
it up in Cagliari probably with the, yeah. the ultras, like.
Oh dear me. So yeah, we've got loads to look forward to. Yeah. I think that's the important thing. Not necessarily for me right now. I'm not thinking about Man City at all. I'm thinking about winning our own games and enjoying watching Liverpool play.
Well, let's lead into it then and have a quick roundup of some of the rivals on the weekend, and we may as well start with City, Sam. And look, there was the point where I turned it on and it was 0-0 and I was thinking, okay. And then I thought, nah, I'm not doing it. I can't do this to myself again this season.
Not from day one.
No. And again, I had the chat with my dad last night, and he said about the goal difference thing, and that's where, you know, got to watch out for that. And I said, nah, I'm not being sucked into that this season because, and I'll be honest, two reasons. I feel a bit more relaxed about the whole endeavour because it felt like that was our one chance almost last year. Like, you know, we don't stay great for long, whereas I feel like we're going to be really good for a few seasons here, you know, so I'm a bit more relaxed about the whole thing. I think there's plenty of other things for us to play for this year as well, you know, not least of all the Super Cup in midweek. And I also don't think Liverpool are going to win the league this season, not because we're crap and not because it's going to be disastrous. I'm just accepting that Man City are just something else. Liverpool can, and if Liverpool do, I'll be overjoyed. I think it's within the realms of possibility for us to do it, but I'm a lot more laissez-faire about it this time around. Exactly. I think we're going to be really good. I think we're probably going to win a couple of bits of silverware along the way this year. So I'm not going to obsess about we only got a +3 and they got a +5 in the first game.
Yeah, and at the, you know what? There was a period last season around Christmas when they were so far ahead of us in the goals. Lo and behold, they lose 3 out of 4 games. We win, have some good wins. I think it was Arsenal and a few others. And next minute, we were above them on goal difference. It was only the end of the season that they get... finished what 3 or 4 above us. It wasn't much, was it? Because you know there was that daft scenario about if we draw and
they lose by four, playoff at Wembley.
Yeah. So it does swing around about, and I'm the opposite to you. I was pre Child Shield. We're not going to do it. Sané gone. That performance. I'm positive now, but it's a different conversation. I honestly don't think it matters. I didn't watch the City game. I saw the highlights. And the problem with West Ham is, I think Chris said this last week. Problem with West Ham is it's not a football stadium. It's more suited to baseball, as seen in the summer. Yeah. And it's got a massive pitch. West Ham either turn up and give you a hell of a game like they did lots last season against the big teams, or they crumble. So if you look at the two games, I think it was Spurs. I don't know if it was Spurs and City battered them last year, and then they literally got results against the others. There was no 1-0 or 2-0 wins or 2-1 wins for the big teams at West Ham. They either get crumbled like they did against City, or they put on a performance. And I think that means nothing. I think West Ham will finish bottom half this season.
Okay. City show up to that ground every season and absolutely blow them away.
22.
They've beaten them 20. They've scored 7% of the visiting goals at the London Stadium since it was opened. I think it's exactly that. Because it's such a big fucking pitch, they can just do whatever the hell they want with the ball.
And you can't hear the fans because they're so far away.
So I think City, every season, to be honest, I was hoping that maybe something would be different, but every season City go to West Ham. I think they did it in the Cup. I think they battered them in the Cup last season and the league last season. They've done it again. That game is a write-off because of how big that pitch is. And to be honest, Liverpool should be doing the same. We've had a couple of good results there in the previous years. We didn't quite do it last season, but it's the same for us. I think the first season we went there and won 4-0 late on in the season, and I think we won 4-1 in the orange kit that year because we just dictate the play on those type of pitches. Yeah. I think both teams are the same.
I feel like our cup runs are going to be big for confidence this year. I think in domestic cups, I think I'd like for us to aim to win an FA Cup this year. Definitely.
Absolutely. Villa went 1-0 up and then got beat by Spurs. Yeah. I was on in the bar and I saw a little bit of it, and going 1-0 up, I was like, okay, this is sound, but again, not going to give it me focus, not going to give it me attention. It's exhausting enough supporting one team, but because the thing is, I then missed it, and I saw like the post match wrap ups. It was just on silent on a screen somewhere, and they were interviewing the Villa goal scorer, and I was like, and they showed his celebration. I was like, Holy shit, have they done it? And then like the score comes back up in the bottom corner, and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
I watched that whole game. It was a bit of a lesson for Villa, just kind of welcome back to the Premier League. I I don't like John Terry, and that's the thing, but I kind of want Villa to do well because I like Dean Smith, I like the manager,
yeah.
I like Jack Grealish, mm. I like John McGinn, and they're just a proper... It feels right watching Villa in the Premier League.
There's something yeah,
it does,
incredible.
It does.
Yeah. I don't know, I don't like being this, but because I don't know the lad, and maybe he's lovely in person, but Jack Grealish just looks so punchable, doesn't he? Like, you know what I mean? Have you
well,
seen
you
him?
You say
like,
that, but yeah. Remember what happened last year?
Yeah, exactly.
Looks
yeah.
like a Spice Boy, didn't he?
Yeah, he just, you know what I mean? You know when someone's just gone like he's gone for the BTEC Beckham thing like you know
didn't he have that thing where he wore boys shin pads or something
oh, like he had, he, oh, had yeah, he wore all the same boots throughout the whole last season or something like that so by the end of the playoffs
you were falling apart weren't you
yeah. falling apart. I like it. I think he's a nice enough lad. I think he's just a local lad. I think he's a bit like Trent. He's Trent in Birmingham, that's what he is because yeah. he just wants to play
accent,
footy
yeah
that's all he is and I can't help but relate to that. But yeah, Villa they held their own, but as I said before, Christian Eriksen came on, completely changed that yeah. game. If Spurs lose Christian Eriksen before this European window shuts, that is going to help us massively mm. because he is so good.
Yeah, I don't think he's here next season, that's for sure.
No, absolutely. And United battered Chelsea. I kind of dipped in and out of this one. Watched the highlights back earlier. And we'll talk, obviously, we'll come on to talk about Chelsea in the build-up show, but like that's a titanic tussle for fifth and sixth.
Oh, yes. Massively. Yes. I put a tweet out, I got hammered by my mate, United fan. It was like, this is a great watch this. What an exciting game. Chelsea are trying really hard not to score. United are trying really hard not to play a midfield. It was terrible. Honestly, they were passing to each other. That's what Ross Barkley didn't. He must be colourblind. He just kept giving it to Man U players. It was the worst half of football they've probably been this season. Then, obviously, United. But one thing I would say about United, and it's been this way for years, they are clinical.
Yeah.
They take their chances, and Chelsea just, are they going to struggle?
Mm. Who was it put on Twitter? This is the Chelsea of 2003. Was that you?
Oh, so I did see the pic. I don't know who put it up there, but I did see that the two teams, there's like someone's like, oh, dear Lord, or something, and it was like there.
The Champions League final in 2008. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Compared to now, yeah. Now the mighty
They've got
four.
No striker, have they? They can't score.
Yeah.
No, it's funny, isn't it? I always talk about sliding doors moments in football on these shows. But like Tammy Abraham having the shot in the post very early on, that flies in. All of a sudden, you're like, everyone's up. Yeah. The lads, you know, he's got underway in the Premier League, etc., etc. But you know, you're right. You know, when United will be carried out of danger by Rashford and by Martial mm-hmm. so much this season because I think they're both absolutely brilliant.
I thought it was a good move by Lampard. Before the game, but that playing the youngsters, you know, I thought because he's got that affinity with Mount coming from Derby, mm-hmm. haven't he? And Tammy Abraham's done really well for Villa, didn't he, last year? And I thought it was going to be a case of Chelsea probably nicking it against them.
I thought they were,
but it is surprising. And I don't like United in any kind of form, but I've got friends who support United, and I do think that's a very, very good result for their confidence.
Yeah, 100% on that. As we say, from a Liverpool perspective, you want... I don't care enough about Chelsea either way, to be perfectly honest. I think because of the way they are,
we're a pub team.
It'll go well, no, but it's going to go one way or the other for them, isn't it? You know, I think they're looking at like a 2-3 year. They need to get a 2-3 year plan in place if they want to get back to being decent. So I don't see them as a threat.
New manager every season. No, thing
yeah, but and they will and they shouldn't. But the Man United stuff, I'm happy for this in some regard because Solskjaer's defo getting sacked this season.
Yeah, 100%.
He's not, you know, he won't be Man United manager this time next year, but you don't want them to get rid of him so soon that they can get their act together.
Get a good manager in place.
Yeah,
exactly. That.
Yeah, you know, that's it. So
you want it to last season.
Yeah. You want it to be a death of a thousand cuts. So I want these big results every now and again to make them feel like everything's fine.
A little bit of me wants United to get better again so it isn't just a rollover and tickle their belly every time we play.
Yeah, no, I'll take a few years.
No, mate, yeah. At least 10.
I'll take a decade. But,
It's 4 or 5 years.
On the Chelsea thing, just before we move on, I actually think Lampard's got to stick to it in the same way Norwich have. If they play the way they did first half, a lot, they dominated United at home. And I think if they play that way against the teams that aren't maybe as big and, you know, as clinical as United, they will win games because they'll get better. So they've got to stick to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree on that. Well, there you go. That is the final word to Liverpool 4, Norwich City 1. The Premier League is up and running. The Super Cup build-up is to come. And hopefully Liverpool's first piece of silverware of the season. Fingers crossed for all of that. This show is normally, it will be free on Mondays, but we do a final word show after every Liverpool game. The midweek one will be behind the paywall on the redmentv.com, as are the instant match reactions, 15 minutes immediately after the game, getting into the things that happened in a bit more depth and detail than we normally do on the YouTube channel, and a whole host of amazing content as well, including our world-exclusive interview with the gaffer, Jürgen Klopp, sat down with Chris Page. Get over there, subscribe, and we'll see it all soon. Ta-da.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.